if your startup is on a trajectory to becoming a billion-dollar crazy success and make you wildly rich, there's going to be a lot of things that you hate doing and hate about that startup. So it's also differentiating between what are the things I don't like and what are the things that are fundamentally, I guess what you say, that fundamentally different to my values.
All right, Dr. Dinan, ready for our, is this our 10th podcast? I think it is.
Is it number 10?
It's number 10. We made it.
We
did it. Now we can stop. So this is going to be our last episode.
Don't tell people that. They might think it's true. Not that it'll matter. But anyway, why are you wearing sunglasses?
Don't you worry.
It's nighttime.
I will reveal the answer by the end of this podcast.
Ooh.
Just stay tuned.
Well, now I'm intrigued. And the podcast is ending in 10 seconds. Let's get there.
We'll get there. Here we go. Well, are you ready? Should we kick things off?
Let's do it.
Welcome to ThoughtWave, where we discuss tips, tricks, and hacks for audience builders, entrepreneurs.
Entrepreneurs.
You know what? Entrepreneurships, those aren't as good as friendships, but they're almost as good. They're almost as good. Let me re-say this again. Welcome to ThoughtWave, where we discuss tips, tricks, and hacks for audience builders, entrepreneurs, and people who just want to do things. And you know what? I've got an idea for today, Dr. Dinan. So as we all know, we rang in the new year a couple of nights ago. It's now 2025. There are an abundance of existential crises going on out there in terms of goals to set, whether or not to shut down businesses or keep them going or grow them or hire them or change it, whatever, right? There's lots of crazy stuff going out there. And you recently wrote an article called The Art of Knowing When to Quit Your Startup. So you must have been feeling this existential angst going on in the world as well. So what was on your mind when you wrote this article?
I don't feel like I was feeling existential angst. So now I'm questioning it. I feel like I'm always feeling existential angst. That's because I have a PhD in English literature and that's just part of my job. But one of the things I think happens a lot in entrepreneurship is that, you know, people always talk about, you know, success and crushing and go, and, you know, persistence. And if you just keep going, you're going to succeed. And I worry about that mentality a lot. And you know, at the same time, I was thinking about New Year's, and New Year's resolutions are always like, what are you going to start doing? What are you going to do next? How are you going to start something new that's going to make your life better? But you know what? Sometimes the answer to making your life better isn't starting something new. It's stopping something that you shouldn't be doing. And so it's kind of a flip. And startups can be that way too, right? There are sometimes fantastic reasons to stop your business, to stop your startup. And I think we need to help entrepreneurs understand that better. So
but basically when to give up.
When to give up.
When to give up.
Yeah,
when to fold in the thing. Throw in the towel. All right. This is a big deal because, you know, there's this whole, I don't know, mantra idea going on out there that if you just keep working harder and you just keep pivoting your business, ultimately you're going to be able to figure out how to make it work. And it's a really confusing time to say, well, maybe like this is just not the business for you. So like what do you tell your students and the people who come to you about when they should quit or how they should know when to shut down their startup?
Yeah, you know, entrepreneurship is a bit of a hamster wheel, right? And so you're kind of always like running and just going and going and going. And so how do you know if you're making progress? And the challenge, I feel like the conventional wisdom, such that there is conventional wisdom about this, is, you know, quit when you run out of money. Everyone always blames, you know, the startups fail when they run out of money, and that's just not true. Instead, what I like to tell my entrepreneurs is, you know, the most important thing you can do with everything you do in life, by the way, it's not just startups, but startups are, you know, certainly a great place where you can apply this, is to have, you know, goal-oriented decision-making. Not enough people start with their goal. What is your reason for doing this? What's your reason for being here? And being very clear on what your reason is. So what is your reason for launching this company, building this company, running this company, whatever that is. Right? And it doesn't matter what the reason is, right? I'm not here to judge your reason. If your reason is to get filthy rich, if your reason is to, you know, be your own boss, which is such a joke, such a terrible reason to run a startup, but hey, you know, you do you. If your reason is because you think it's going to help you pick up girls, whatever your reason, that's fine. Just know your reason because it makes all decision making so much easier in the rest of your entrepreneurial journey because you just say, well, is this thing helping me accomplish this goal? If yes, cool, continue, do it, keep going. If no, if I'm not working towards that, then this probably isn't the thing to do. And so my advice for knowing when to quit your startup always starts with this idea of like, well, what is your goal? And if you know your goal, then you know when you're not moving towards it, right? And
it becomes pretty easy to quit. I think it's really hard to set a goal because like what makes, you know, when you're just starting out, a lot of people have this idea and they are just interested in the idea. They had this idea, they feel like they have to do it. And the goal is to just give life, give breath to this idea, right? Like, let me see if I can get everything started. So we get there and then, you know, we look at our watches and 10 years have gone by and, you know, we're limping along maybe, or maybe we've got a thriving business. You know, I had a couple of clients who came to me and they thought they had a sales problem and they wanted to know, hey, what can I do in order to build pipeline and close more deals and all this? And as we started getting into it, you know, I was asking them questions like, hey, you know, when was the last time you reached out to prospects or you held a dinner? This was a services company and they, you know, provided outsourced development services to startups. And a big way that they would get business was to have these dinners. And all of, you know, I'm asking these questions, when was the last time you did this? Well, we had like one last month, we had two the month before. And yeah, no, I've got this like LinkedIn group of people that I could reach out to, but I haven't done that. And I'm sitting here thinking like, well, this must not, getting new customers must not be the most important thing to you at this moment. And so we started digging deeper and started to find that no, actually there was this existential question of whether or not they keep the business going. And the unfortunate thing was they had golden handcuffs. So the business was, you know, prior to them talking to me, I don't know, it was doing about 4 million or something a year over the past couple of years. And they had dipped, which is why they reached out. This was a couple million dollar business that was kicking off cash. And everybody in their orbit was saying, I mean, it's kicking off cash. Like, why not just keep running it? And I came in and said, well, do you like this business? And the CEO, in a moment of clarity, goes, no. I said, I don't care how much money it's making you. If you're not happy and not feeling fulfilled about it, why continue doing it? Life is short, right? And so that was like, so, you know, flash forward 6 months working together and he had a co-founder, he had to figure out how to talk to him about it. And they both actually came to the same conclusion that they were done running this business after 10 years. So I thought that was interesting. And it became clear because they were able to start asking, they were able to get themselves, their heads out of the box of, just because it's making money in a profitable way doesn't mean that I have to continue this business.
Do you know what that's called, Chris?
No idea. Tell me.
This is going to be the trigger. This is going to tell me what's going on behind the glasses, because I bet it's the same reason. It's called a zombie company, and you're wearing sunglasses because that's the first clue to a zombie, right? Is the eyes kind of go, right? Are you a zombie?
You got me.
I knew it. Got it in one. This is called a zombie. Here's the bite mark. This is called a zombie company, a zombie startup. And yeah, it's actually the worst outcome of a startup. Most people think the worst outcome of a startup is failure, but I would argue the worst outcome of a startup is a zombie company. And a zombie company is exactly what you described, right? It's a company that kicks off enough money to create like this kind of sustained living, but it's actually not creating any value, right? It's actually just holding the people who are working for this company back, whether it's the owners who, you know, they could be doing other incredible things in the world, but instead they're just doing this kind of pointless little product. There is the employees who could be on to, you know, kind of bigger, better things, but they're just holding onto this job because it's stable and safe and they just stay in it. And this, you know, this company just makes enough money to survive, but it's never going to grow. Now, you normally see zombie companies. I had a zombie company in the venture-backed space, right? Because what happens in venture-backed companies, right, is they pump in a bunch of money. And the goal is, of course, to become this billion-dollar exit that makes people tons of money. But you can get caught in the middle there where you're making money, but you're never going to scale and be able to get a good exit, at which point you're just a waste of space, right? And brain power, even for those VCs who have put money into you, it's actually worse because you're sitting on the balance books, you're costing them resources, you're costing them time, and you're not going to exit. You're just making enough money to survive. So it actually hurts them and hurts their ability to fundraise again. It hurts, you know, kind of a lot of it. So they don't want a zombie company. But who cares about VCs? I don't care about VCs. Just kidding to all my VC friends out there. I love you. But you're really hurting yourself, right? Because if you're running something that you don't care about, again, this goes back to your goals. If you're running something you don't care about, what the heck is the point? But you asked this kind of really great question, or you made this great point. I don't remember if it was a question. We'll pretend it was a question. It's like, how do you figure out your goals? And I'm going to turn that to you first. I know how I think about figuring out goals. How do you think about figuring out goals?
When I'm sitting down and I'm starting to think about goals, like I first start analyzing my values. Like, what's really important to me? What are the things, like, why am I on this planet? And I mean, I know that can sound like, I don't know, a difficult question, a question that can't be answered or whatever, but I think it's an important question for everybody to start trying to answer. And as I think of it, for me, it's always been around personal, professional growth and development. Like, what does that mean? Well, I've got a value for me that I always want to stay curious and I want to become the best version of myself. And so as that in that process, then I have to start choosing opportunities that are going to help me do that. So earlier on in my career, what that meant was saying yes to some really difficult positions that I didn't feel qualified for, or I felt were a huge stretch for me, like managing a sales team or, you know, becoming the VP of sales for a startup company here in the Triangle and onwards. And I said yes to these really difficult things. And as I got into them, the goal always was to try to learn something that I didn't already know how to do well. Okay. So like when I took over that VP of sales role, the goal for me was, can I build a team on my own based on my own values and team structures and insights and make it work and do it profitably? That was what I wanted to learn. I wanted to see if I could do that. I wanted to see what it was like to do things from scratch, because I'd previously been working for somebody I was more or less taking orders from that regard. So I like to start from my values in order to figure out what my goal is. And then from a startup perspective, you know, when you and I started Audience Acceleration Labs together, you know, one of the things that we talked about were our values and the types of folks that we wanted to help. And I think it's even recently we really aligned starting on that goal on like elevating people with messages that matter, that are going to impact people in a positive way. So we have those goals. And then we also have, you know, talk about Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You got to eat. And so there are also financial goals tied to these things too. But I think at the end of the day, you and I are both aligned on this, that we'd rather forego and delay the financial goals and get the, you know, impact goals right before anything else.
And so those are a lot of what I would say there is same thing, right? Which is, you know, kind of think about your place in the world and what you're doing. And I know that sounds existential, but I mean, at the end of the day, what else we got, right? Like, you know, we're bags of flesh that are going to decay, you know, within, you know, 100 years, right? So who cares? So the really only thing to do is you can sit down and I know this sounds dark, but you can sit down and say, well, like, what's going to create value for me and drive your goals out of that. And again, there's no right or wrong here, right? My goals are going to be different than your goals. They're going to be different to everyone else's goals who's listening to this, but like just taking that self-reflective moment. And so this is why I often tell entrepreneurs the most important thing entrepreneurs can learn to do is be reflective, right? And reflective on everything. So it's reflective on why something didn't work, you know, why something failed. Reflective on why something was wildly successful. Not enough people are reflective on why something was wildly successful. You know, when you have success, you just kind of accept it and move on. And often you're wrong about why it was successful. And that's when you screw up. And I think we've talked about that on this podcast before. But then being reflective on your life and your purpose and what you're trying to drive, right? I mean, these are all like important parts. And it's not important for some sort of, again, philosophical reason or, you know, kind of frou-frou-y, like, look at me, I'm a humanist reason. It's important because it gives you directionality. Like it's the thing that helps you make the choices you need to make. And one of the keys that I encourage you to do if you're listening to this and you're trying to figure out, well, what are my goals? Let me take that moment to have those directions. Because by the way, Chris, you were right. Too many entrepreneurs just get into the like, well, I'm going to start building this thing to build it without ever stopping to say, why am I building it? And you need to, even if you haven't done that yet, stop and do, you have to do that. You just have to. Yeah. If you feel rudderless right now listening to this, it's because you haven't done that, right? So stop and do it. And then the key is, I think, to all this is to have a long time horizon. Because I find people tend to have way too short of a kind of a time horizon. So they're like, oh, I'm doing this because, let's take the easy one. I'm doing this because I want to be rich. And, you know, good luck. If you're choosing to be an entrepreneur because you want to be rich, Let me just, spoiler alert, there are much better ways to make a lot more money than entrepreneurship. But anyway, you do you. But if your goal is, if your goal is to, you know, to be an entrepreneur, to be rich, well then understand that rich isn't going to happen 6 months from now if you're just starting a company. Right. Even your most successful, you know, think about the most successful companies you're imagining, right? Your, you know, your Ubers and your Amazons. All right, well, Amazon launched in, what was it, like 1996, 1997? I mean, Amazon is a 30-year-old company. Now, granted, Jeff Bezos had turned it into something pretty impressive well before 30 years, but it's still a decade, right? The average age for, you know, a company to become quote unquote successful is about 10 years.
Wow.
Right? So have a time horizon. So if your goal is to make a lot of money with your entrepreneurial venture, know that it's not going to happen in 6 months, right? Zoom out, understand that there is significant time that you have to grow towards. And I'm a little worried as I get older that I'm going to, like, that time horizon is going to, I'm not going to, yeah, I'm going to keep saying, oh, it's okay. You know, in 10 years, this is going to be good. But right now, I'm assuming most people listening to this still have that kind of time horizon they can work on with their goals. So match your goal to your time horizon, and, you know, and remembering, be reflective. You gotta have goals.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of our listeners might be lost in that regard. Okay. And let me talk, you know, I've had a lot of conversations with entrepreneurs over time that they're kind of pre-programmed to want whatever their parents wanted, or to want whatever their significant other wants, or what the people around them, society, thinks they should want. And I think that makes things really confusing as an entrepreneur. Because one of the things that I love when I do leadership coaching with execs and CEOs, I always tell them when they're trying to figure out what their values are, that they need to pick values that are actually their values, not values that they think they should have. And the reason becomes, people will automatically see if a value is not truly yours and it's only aspirational. And I'll give you great examples. Working at this company, one of our values was transparency. And it was very clear that the CEO did not believe that transparency was an important part of the way that he wanted to run the business. And that's fine, right? Like, he wanted to keep things closer to the vest and make decisions and not share everything with everyone. And that's, again, totally fine. Like you said earlier, there's no judgment on that. But what the issue became was that somehow snuck its way into the values. And so every time he did something, made a decision, didn't bring people along or whatever, everybody would point to that value and say, this sucks. I hate this. Why didn't you tell me? One of our values is transparency. We got to figure this out. And so what we did is we ended up having to redo the values. And we came up with a bunch of really great values that ultimately were his values and the leadership's values around him. So everything started to come into alignment in that way. And so when I'm thinking about, like, hey, you know, should I shut down my business or should I continue to invest in this business or not? That's why I always keep coming back to values, because here's the thing about values. If you're not living by your values or you're living by somebody else's values, it becomes exponentially more difficult to achieve success along those guidelines. You can't do it. And you can only maybe force it for a little while, but then it just falls apart underneath you. So I challenge people to say, like, you know, am I really driving this business via my values? And if not, what changes do I have to make? Because, you know, again, you may be unhappy about your business for any number of reasons, right? Shutting down your business could be because it's super painful, and it's super painful because you've hired the wrong people, or it's super painful because you're trying to live by values that aren't your values, or that you're selling a product and you're doing it in a way that goes against whatever values you have. I wonder how many times I can fit values into this conversation, but a lot of those things could lead you to believing that you should shut something down when really the answer is, well, I just got to change these few couple of things.
And I can tell you so many entrepreneurs, young entrepreneurs, if any young entrepreneur is even still listening to this, because if I was, honestly, when I was 25, if I had heard two people, you know, 15, 20 years farther into their journey than me sitting here talking about values, I'd be like, these guys don't know what they're talking about.
I would not care.
I would not give a damn. And I was like, how do I make money? How do I get more sales? How do I get customers? But this was actually the most freaking important conversation I should have been having back then. It would have given me so much more directionality.
Well, how do you think it would have changed? Like, what would have changed had you had this conversation back in your 20s?
Well, I know that I spent too long building things I shouldn't have been trying to build. Right, because I was focused on me. So there's a couple ways here. Okay. One is that I was very focused on me. I was being an entrepreneur because, you know, I thought entrepreneurship was all about me, and so I didn't understand that. First of all, the purpose of entrepreneurship is to bring value to other people. Now I know we're talking about you have to have your values, and are you fulfilling your values? But I was very kind of selfish in my entrepreneurial approach, and so just even thinking about values would have hopefully gotten me to have some empathy and to understand that even if I was there to get rich, which I was, I originally was there to get rich. That was 100% a thing. Whether or not it's, you know, I think a lot of entrepreneurs start that way. So I was there to get rich, but if I had taken time to think about values, I like to think I would have had like, okay, well, I'm here to get rich, but my client doesn't care if I get rich. My customer doesn't care if I get rich. They care if I create value for them. So I think just thinking about values and having these conversations would have made me more successful in trying to achieve those goals I had of getting rich, right? So that's number one. It's just being more values focused helps you understand that, oh yeah, who gives a crap what you want to accomplish in the world? If you're not creating value for other people, they're not going to buy into it. And then the second big way that thinking about values would have really helped me is I think I would have quit, going back to where we started from, I would have quit a lot sooner. Because I can go back and in my mind, before the things I work on now, I would say there's like three big ventures that I worked on. But there should have been 10. And by that, I mean it's like three big ventures that I worked on over the course of like 10 to 15 years. Right? And it's because I spent way too long on things that I never should have been spending time on. And it's because I was, because I never stopped to do these kind of value questions to understand like, hey, is this thing still helping me to lead to my goal? And even if back when my goal was make a lot of money, I could have looked and been like, you know what? I know I put a lot of, what's the phrase when you put a lot of sunk costs? It was sunk cost fallacy. It was like, well, I'm gonna keep working on this thing because I put a lot of time and effort into it. But if I had been honest and say like, well, if this is about making a lot of money, this thing right here ain't gonna make me a lot of money ever, right? So just doing that act of having values, right, of saying my values would have saved me a ton of time. I think I would have tried different things and I would have gotten to what I should have been doing a lot sooner.
That's really interesting. So I know it's really hard to figure out that early on, you know, what actually matters to you, okay? Because like you said earlier, you're a young gun, you're trying to start a company, you know, you're doing it because of maybe all these external validation factors. There's a few people who are probably listening to this being like, no, I actually wanted to make an impact. And I actually wanted to make sure that I was able to help this group of people or to invent this new thing that was going to do this really, that was going to change the world in a really interesting way. And I don't know. For myself, I found it really difficult to get to the core of what it was that mattered to me. Like I was able to riddle it off to you earlier, but that was only after years of working with mentors and coaches and therapists and things like that and like cleaning away all of this other stuff that was getting in the way of my choosing a direction. I mean, when I graduated from Duke, I was pre-med. Let me tell you the story. I applied to med school. I took the MCAT. I was standing in an OR watching a world famous brain surgeon remove a golf ball sized tumor out of somebody's head while they were awake. And I had to step back against the wall so that I would not pass out because I don't know. That is
unsettling. I know.
Yeah. It is unsettling. Okay. And there were so many signs along the way. That was not the right way. Right. Like it was like the universe was putting up signs every which way it could to say, hey, this is not you. Stop.
There's a golf ball sized tumor here. It's telling you not to do this.
Yeah. Yeah. The fact that you're about ready to throw up all over yourself is probably a good sign. You should not be doing this. And, you know, what ultimately it took was it took a mentor and it took a moment where the dean of admissions at UNC, because I was applying to UNC Medical School and Duke, and I gotten on the wait list at both, he goes, you know, if you retake organic chemistry and get an A, you're going to be a shoo-in next year. And it was in that moment where I was like, I don't want to be a doctor enough to retake a class, right? And that was a huge sign for me. And so, like, I think there's a lot of people out there who are, like, still in that phase of life where they're thinking, like, I'm just putting one foot in front of the other and I'm just doing what I think I should be doing. And really what I was doing is trying to follow in my parents' footsteps and to do the next best thing because I got discouraged while I was in school and I had a bad experience with an econ class, okay? So, like, I find this whole thing really difficult, you know? Like, how do you know when you're actually making a decision that is truly your decision versus one that everybody else is making for you?
Yeah, that's and that's really, okay, so let's see if we can, to provide practical value here, which is all your thing. I'm more the frou-frou humanist. Let's just
philosophize. I like tangible.
But, okay, tangible value. What could you have told the 25-year-old version of me to make me be reflective, to make me actually realize that values-driven entrepreneurship is the way to make those millions that I was trying to make?
I don't think there is anything that I think you kind of had to go through that to get to that point, right? And I mean, it's your past that makes you. That's why you have to be grateful to the person you were back then because they made you who you are today, especially if you like the person who you are today.
It's touch and go.
I have my moments.
Sometimes I think I'm a good person, but for the most part, it sucks to live with me. I'm not going to lie. Shoot, I want there to be an answer here as I beyond just trust me, kids. Just trust me.
To some people, I feel like just hearing this is a sign. It really, it's calling to something that you already know inside of yourself. And we all need signs and moments for that. And like maybe right now, this conversation, somebody is like, you know what? I'm exactly like Chris was back when he was thinking he was going to be a doctor. Or I'm exactly like Aaron was when he was confused about the why he was doing what he was doing and was just going for, you know, the me monster thing.
Money, the dollar bills,
the me monster. What do we call that? I'm hungry.
And at some point, this conversation is going to cause people to just take off those shades that are blinding them to their. Did I get it? Is that the big reveal? No. Okay. No. Yeah, I'm trying, audience. We're gonna get to the root of this mystery at some point. So yes, I will. I'll go ahead and I'll concede that. Yeah, you know, there's certainly growth that can happen, but I do think there's a way to accelerate that growth. And to me, that acceleration really comes in the lessons of, I'm gonna call it failure. That's just because, you know, a lot of my pedagogy is around this idea of failure and learning to fail, but really like trial and error and experimentation. So you're right that it's something that you almost have to learn from yourself. So really, I guess the answer is, how do you learn that lesson as quickly as possible? And I think maybe the way to learn that lesson as quickly as possible is that, you know, that kind of willingness to try and fail. Because when I look back, right, it's these failures that taught me these important lessons. And so how do you let failure happen quicker? And if you are willing, and I think part of it is willing to embrace failure. So again, when I look back at my companies that I ran too long, it was scared up here, right? I didn't want to fail. It was, I didn't want to quit. I didn't want to quit because, you know, I had put, you know, so much time, energy, and resources into it. I didn't want to quit because everyone tells you just keep working and, you know, that's going to be the magic. I didn't want to quit because of what other people might think of me. And I totally get that, right? Like every, you know, when you're a 20-something entrepreneur and all your friends are in their corporate jobs, like you look like a freaking crazy. And everyone's like, I told you so. And your parents are like, why are you doing that? And, you know, and you're, you know, if you've got a significant other, they're thinking like, oh my gosh, is this the right person to be with? Because this person is crazy. And so you don't, so quitting, you know, imagine you have a fiance and you quit and she's like, well, I don't want to be with this loser. He looks like he's given up, because most people, again, don't understand that quitting is powerful. So we have to learn to change the stigma around quitting. You know, quitting isn't bad if you're quitting for the right reasons. And so I guess that's where I want to, you know, kind of put a bow on this conversation, right? It does, I think, a good job bringing us back to where we started, which is, how do you know when to quit? Well, you got to start by understanding that quitting isn't bad. Sometimes the best thing you can do is quit. And so to all our people out there listening, it's New Year's. Happy 2025. It's our first episode of the new year. Maybe it's time to quit. And if you do quit, I'm proud of you for quitting, because, hey, it's really hard to quit.
Yeah, it's super hard to quit. And I mean, that just unlocks some things in me where it's that was, I had to shut down a startup that I was a part of earlier on in my career. And that was really freaking hard. It was really hard, right? Because you have to admit defeat and you can keep going, keep dragging it out. But the thing that keeps you dragging it out and keeps you going, it's that.
You know when it's over, right? Like you can totally tell when it's over. Totally tell. That's the funny, like when I go back to my failures, my failed companies, I'm like, I knew when it was over. You gotta admit it.
That's really intense. I love that. So we start first with that. And then the other parts, it seems like, are making sure that you're aligned with whatever it is you feel like you were put here to do. Then you're aligned with your values and you've got that mission clear. And the other part, I mean, that we didn't dig as much into, but it's starting to figure out, do I really not like my business or do I not like aspects of my business?
That's worth pointing out, right, is nothing's going to be perfect. And the longer you work on something, the more you're going to see its warts and its flaws, the longer you work with people. It's like any relationship, co-founder relationships are just like romantic relationships, right? You fall in love with someone in those first few, you see all their amazing things, you think of all the possibilities. But when you're with someone for years and years and years, you start to, there's parts that start to grind on you and get to you. But so you can't look at those things, right? Like having some bad things that aren't ideal is not reason to quit. So that's a really good point to bring up. I'm defending myself and my co-founder here. I have warts about me, Chris, but don't quit on me.
Likewise, same.
but like everything's gonna have warts, right? Like nothing's gonna be perfect. Even if your startup is on a trajectory to becoming $1 billion crazy success and make you wildly rich, there's gonna be a lot of things that you hate doing and hate about that startup. So it's also differentiating between what are the things I don't like and what are the things that are fundamentally, fundamentally different than my values. I guess that goes back to values.
It always does.
Everything goes back to values. So yeah, I don't know that our target demographic is 18-year-olds, but 18-year-old entrepreneurs, but to any 18-year-old entrepreneurs out there, instead we're probably preaching to a choir. I like to imagine our target demographic is probably like 50-year-old dudes who are like, yeah, that was me as well. So preach it. Preach into the choir. Good to have all you out there.
And brag to us when you do. Just say, hey, we decided to shut down our company and, we cut off whatever, $1 million of revenue and said it's not worth it anymore. Great. Do that.
That's like, I can't believe that story you told of your friends who shut down. Like, I don't know that I would have had the chutzpah to shut down company. Dude, making millions. And it's worth noting, right? Not every company, if your goal for having that company, or what we might call a lifestyle business, is to churn out money so that you can go do the other things you want to be doing, then that's fine. But again, you knew your goal, and so you kept going towards it. So it's still all goal-driven.
One of my favorite entrepreneurs here in the Triangle, she was running a really cool services training company here, and she kept it going and was having a lot of growth, and then AI came out, and it was one of those businesses that was really impacted by AI, and she had to reflect. I mean, she loved this business. She loved the people that were in the business. She was doing a lot of good in the world through it as well. I mean, it was like just in total values alignment with her, it seemed like. And man, what a difficult decision, because all of a sudden AI comes out, and like really, I mean, in all honesty, it was true. The need for her business dropped by maybe a factor of 10 overnight. And she had a decision to make. Do I keep going? Do I try to pivot? Do I try to find a way to collaborate in this environment? Or do I, cut bait and walk away and do something new? And she decided, I mean, it was really hard for her, but she decided that she was going to cut bait and do something new, and was able to give her investors back all of their money in the process. I mean, that's incredible, because a lot of people would just kind of like let it run and, burn the cash trying to figure out something when in the back of their minds, they know like, hey, there's no something here anymore. Like the world is fundamentally different at this point. And she threw in the towel, and it was the best decision. She's on to bigger and better things now. So, maybe that's a good story to wrap things up with. It was a story of success. Giving things up.
Successfully quitting. Well, worth noting is, quitting should never be easy. Or if it gets to the point that quitting is easy, then you quit way too late. There's some wisdom.
I like that.
Put a bow.
Boom. Well,
call it a night. Mic drop. You can't see me because those glasses are blinding you, but I've just dropped the mic.
Maybe the reason I'm wearing these is because my future is so bright in 2025, I have to wear shades. Could that be? I don't know. But with that, Dr. D, should we wrap things up?
Let's wrap it up.
Let's wrap it up. Well, thank you for listening to this episode of ThoughtWave Team, where we discuss tips, tricks, and hacks for audience builders, entrepreneurs, and people who just want to do things. Dr. D, this was a great conversation.
Welcome to 2025.
Welcome to 2025. Like, comment, share, subscribe. Thank you very much. We'll see you next time.